Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. It's great to be with you. As we gather together to worship God, let's just take a moment to be still. A moment to sit in God's presence. Eternal God of love, as we come together today in this place, each from different places, with different feelings, different needs, different anxieties and different joys, be with us and help us to know your presence and your love. Amen. So let's praise God. And worthy of praise. And we come today to remember all you have done, your creative acts, your acts of love throughout history, your gift of Jesus Christ, your love experienced in our daily lives. today also we remember those who lost their lives in conflict, the horror they endured, the determination they displayed, the courage they showed, and the sacrifices they made to defend values we continue to hold dear today. Forgive us that so often and so easily we forget. We fail to recognise all you've done for us and remember all we have received. We remember that in all things you remember, forgive and love us. So help us to remember you. And we entrust to you, eternal God, those times when we lose hope, those times when suffering seems senseless, life so fragile. And bless us with the assurance that you are in all things, the tragic and the beautiful, the nightmare and the dreams, the darkness and the light. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. God of life, today as in all days, we remember your love and wait upon your strength. Amen. Young people are invited to go and continue with worship, so let's just say a short word of blessing. Loving God, bless all of us and be with all of us as we continue to worship you in different parts of this building. Amen. Today, as you all know, is Remembrance Sunday, and in a few minutes at 11 o'clock we'll observe the 2 minute silence, a time to remember those who've lost their lives in conflict, especially those who've sacrificed their lives in the hope that what they were fighting for would make life better for others, and a time to remember so that we can all work to put an end to such loss and work for peace. We have two readings this morning. Our reading from Hebrews today reminds us of Jesus's once and for all sacrifice, the sacrifice that opened the door for new ways of being now and makes peace a real possibility now. But before that, we also hear some very familiar words from John's Gospel.
Firstly, reading from St. John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 9 to 17, and this can be found on page 1083 in the Church Bible. John, chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. And now we turn to the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 11 to 25. And that can be found on page 1208 in the Church Bibles. Hebrews chapter 10, from verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen.
Thank you for those words. The Methodist Church has a number of chaplains in the forces. One of them described to me their job as to hold on to the hope in the darkest places. And several of them have recorded some reflections for this Remembrance Sunday. We're going to hear from one of them now in the video, from the Navy chaplain, Mark Noakes.
Royal Navy Chaplain. A thought on remembrance.
The 24th of May is an important day in the annual calendar of the Methodist Church. Something momentous happened at Aldersgate in 1738, and we feel a need to celebrate, give thanks, and to remember. It's our heritage, part of what makes us who we are. Without stories such as this, we would lose our distinctiveness, forget why we are here and how it came to be like this. Not to mention, we can be proud of it too. This is all the more important because, well, obviously, anyone who was there or caught up in the immediate aftermath is long gone. Their words and actions are now ours to speak and emulate in our way and in our time. hopefully, our inheritance from them is lessons learned and a continuing desire to make a difference. At 05:55, that's just before 6 a.m. it started. By 06:05, it was over. Just 10 minutes or so, the merest heartbeat in the cycle of a day. But so much was contained within it. In a flash, literally in a flash, 1,415 men who had been alive at 5 to 6 were gone. Just 3 were left to tell the next generation about their friends and their shipmates. They would be the only survivors of the Hood. It was the 24th of May, 1941. Like so many others who went down to the sea in ships, they would become a name on a marble slab or an etching on a brass plaque. 1,415 sailors means 1,415 families and countless friends, all with no grave to visit. They are somewhere out there, a long way away at the bottom of the North Atlantic. And to the name Hood, we could add so many more, and not just from the Second World War. Famous names and unfamiliar names, all of them with human stories left resting in them. Like Indefatigable in 1916, K-13 in 1917, Repulse in 1941, or Coventry in 1982. When the sun goes down, or in the morning, why will we remember them? Well, if not us, who will? Who will tell of bravery, courage, and waste? If we forget them, we will forget the why and how. If we forget why and how, chances are, more likely, another name will be added to that list.
We think today of the call to remember, and I'll reflect on that further. We're called twofold to remember the loss so that we learn and hope for a better future. And we're called on to remember the story of God. So before we come to our time of remembrance, can we sing our next hymn, which is number 625 in our books? Deep in the darkness, a starlight is gleaming, calling us out from the safety of home.
Thank you.
the RAF chaplain Ian Brown offered some reflections in today where he said he used to wonder what to do with the 2 minute silence. And he used to ask people what they thought about during that time. Some people could speak of particular people who they knew or families who had been directly affected by such loss. Others thought of images that they'd seen on television or stories they'd heard or things they'd read. Others admitted they didn't quite know what to do with the silence and were often distracted by thoughts about things that were going on in their lives or trivial things. He said he was never sure what to do with it. But of course, being a chaplain in the forces changed that. As across the years, he knew many, many men and women who'd lost their lives in war. He said he'd had to say goodbye to so many, and he wanted that to be worth something. So he grew to learn how vital it was to take the time not just to honour the fallen, but also to commit to caring for the living. So he said for him, in the 2 minute silence, he now thinks of those who will grow not old. He thinks of the people whose lives have been devastated by war and conflict, by all sorts of conflict and violence, for it's with us in many forms. And he prays for peace. So can I invite you to stand? They shall not grow old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. And let us pray. Ever-living God, we remember those whom you've gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. as we reflect today on the horrors of the past that continue to haunt and darken our worlds. Eternal God, where pain still overwhelms, bring healing. Where hearts are still breaking, bring comfort. Where peoples are still oppressed, bring liberation. Where communities are victimized, bring justice. Where lives are still crushed, bring hope. And where war still devastates, bring peace. But most of all, wherever a single voice cries out in the darkness, bring us to one another in the name of the love you bear in your heart for all people, all nations, and all creation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Memory is so important, isn't it? We know that only too well when we realise those things that we're not remembering. The big things and the little things, and I'm sure all of us have those moments every day. Perhaps when we go into a room for something and then can't remember what it is that we went into for. It's disturbing and unsettling when we can't remember. We know how important it is. Perhaps too often we think about memory in individual terms of our own memories, or perhaps those of our families and friends. But it's important too to have collective memory. We don't often give much time to that, and perhaps this is one of the days of the year where we collectively, together, remember. We make an effort today to remember so that we might grieve and so that we might learn. Collective memory, I guess, is another way of thinking about tradition. And tradition is something it's easy to criticise, but it's often there for a reason. We can see the difficulties of tradition in many lives, in many ways, in many areas of life, including within the church. And tradition can be trapping, and it can be restrictive, and it can be irrelevant. But often it only becomes so because we forget why it's there in the first place. We fail to remember why we have these different traditions. We fail to learn from experience and think about what it means today. Past experiences, past reflection and insights are vital. We aren't bound by tradition, and if it's entrapping, then there's something we've forgotten. But if we remember our past, if we remember the thinking and actions of those who've gone before, if we have the benefit of their wisdom and their mistakes, then it helps us to learn and grow. It helps us in the memories we have today to work and commit to making a more loving, more peaceful, less violent world. Today we and many others remember the pain and sacrifice and courage and commitment of those who've lost their lives in conflict. But we do so in church. And every time we gather in worship, part of what we're doing is remembering. Remembering the story of the people of God. Remembering all that God has done for us. Remembering the story and acts and teaching of Jesus. And that remembering doesn't just happen in church on a Sunday. It's part of our discipleship, part of who we are as followers of Jesus. We remember God's love and grace and presence in all kinds of situations, day by day, as we live out our lives. We're called to do so, called to be witnesses to the good news of love and hope. An RAF chaplain, Paul Meller, reflected that his first real memories of remembrance came from his days in the Boys' Brigade, standing at a war memorial in a South Yorkshire village on a cold November morning. He said, as the last post was played, I used to look at the gathering of children and parents from the uniformed organisations, huddles of teary-eyed women and ever-dwindling number of old men wearing medals. As we stood dutifully for the 2 minute silence, I recalled shivering and wondering, what am I doing here? He said in early March 2003, after having joined the RAF as a chaplain for 2 years, he found himself huddled with 30 to 40 others in a concrete air raid shelter in Kuwait. Dressed in a helmet, body armour, a chemical protection suit and a respirator, as an Iraqi cruise missile landed in the camp. He says, I recall the realisation that there were people who were trying to kill me, and at that moment I asked God again the question, what am I doing here? He said, in the next 6 years, sadly, there were 80 occasions when I stood on a tarmac waiting with a family for the return of a husband, wife, son or daughter, mum or dad who'd been killed in operations in Iraq or Afghanistan. And as each family allowed me to share in the pain of one of the worst days of their life, I prayed to God, God, what am I doing here? He reflects that the answer in each of those different circumstances was very similar, because each were about hope. As a chaplain, he's there in those places to remember the story of God, to remember God's love and God's promises, and to be a sign that hope that the cost of war and conflict would not be too easily forgotten by future generations. Hope that in times of violence and aggression, there would always be people who symbolise peace and reconciliation. And hope that in the worst of circumstances that life throws at us, we're not alone. Many find today difficult. Difficult because they've lost somebody. Difficult because of concerns about glorifying sacrifice. Difficult because it brings home the reality of violence in our world. Difficult because we don't know what to do with it. It reminds us, in a way, some of the worst aspects of human beings. Humans are complex, aren't they? I guess we all know people who do wonderful things, things that seem impossible and heroic and gives us cause to celebrate. And I guess we all know people and have experienced times that have caused us to deeply weep. There's many examples from our Christian story of the church's tendency to either dwell too much on the sinfulness of humanity or move over it too quickly to the sense that God is in control and everything will be okay. Humans are capable of the most wonderful things and also the most horrific harm. And there's a place, there always has been in the story of the people of God, for acknowledging the pain, lament, anger and rage at the worst that humanity does. We need only think of the Psalms. And it is okay to be despairing, angry, desolate before God. It's part of being human in this world. And one thing we know for sure is that God can and does and has borne our pain and our anger and our desolation, for he did so in Christ. So creating space to remember and lament and rage before God is important. It's part of being real as human beings. It's something deeply Methodist, for John Wesley never shied away from acknowledging humanity's capacity for evil. And he found that if we only remember the pain or dwell too much on it, then we forget the hope, and it feels very bleak indeed. But when we acknowledge the depths of harm of what people are capable of, we also recognise our need for God's amazing grace again and again in our lives, and the possibility and the promise of God's amazing grace now, again and again in our lives, no matter what. Remembering, particularly today, is about our history, about people, about our world, and about ourselves. But most of all, it's about God. We give space today for both the pain, the grief, and the lament, and also for the hope and the learning and the reassurance of God's promises of his presence and his eternal life. Mark Note said in his video, "The fact that we remember those who are long gone, he says, hopefully our inheritance from them is lessons learnt and a continuing desire to make a difference." So finally, what do we remember? For what we remember is important. The stories we tell ourselves and others matter. And therefore, the question of what we remember needs attention. For we know it's too easy to edit our stories, to pick and choose what we remember, or to make the stories fit with what we want to say, or what we would hope to say, and perhaps not what is. I guess you all know that if two or three or more people are asked to recall an event, they'll tell it in slightly different ways. Sometimes those ways are so different, we wonder if we've been in the same place at the same time. But we remember differently. And we see that in the Gospels, with different accounts of similar events in Jesus' life. So again, it's our shared memory that's important. We remember together. And part of what we remember is making an effort to listen to different voices, to different experiences, to different perspectives on events, for they help us to get the bigger picture, the fuller picture. As we remember the story of the people of God, as we remember all that God has done for us, how do we remember that here and now? How do we remember that in our daily lives? For it's not just about telling people. As we've heard from the chaplains, whose words we've heard today, part of it is about being that hope in difficult places. Part of the stories we remember is something about our presence with others, our allowing space for others to recognise pain, to grieve and lament and rage, and also to remember God's grace and be God's love and be the hope in dark places. I think at baptism services, the congregation is always asked to make a promise. And the people are asked, "Will you so maintain the church's life of worship and service that they may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord?" To to which we're all asked to respond, with God's help, we will. We're asked to keep the memory of God alive in our worship, in our service, in our discipleship, to pass on the story of God to the next generation. We heard Mark Noakes speak of how Methodists remember John Wesley's profound experience of God's love and grace at his conversion at Aldersgate on the 24th of May, 1738. He said it's part of what makes us proud to be who we are. Without the story of that moment, we lose our distinctiveness. Perhaps we forget why we are here and how it came to be like this. As people of God, that's our task. To remember why we are here as followers of Jesus and how it came to be so. For if we don't remember, who will? Amen. And so we sing of the God who is with us in all things, in all places, at all times. The one helps us to remember. The one who helps us to be the hope in dark places.
Your endless mercy.
Let's come to God in prayer. After the words, Lord, in your mercy, can you respond, hear our prayer? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all, hear our prayers today as we pray for all the victims of war. Hear our prayer as we pray for all the victims of violence in its many forms. Those who bear the scars of conflict, the injured, the maimed, the mentally distressed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. On this day, we pray especially for those in the armed forces who are so often charged with keeping the peace in various situations. We think of them as their work often involves months away from family and friends, and often danger to themselves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who challenge and oppose violence, for those who work for peace in many different ways, sometimes in situations of war and conflict, sometimes aiming to help those who are victims of abuse and domestic violence. Sometimes those who are peacemakers in their own communities. For those who work for charities. For those who volunteer. For those who serve and care for others. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for world leaders, politicians and diplomats. We pray for business managers, for trustee boards. We pray for all whose decisions affect the lives of many. May your spirit of wisdom and compassion be with them all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who have suffered loss, for all who are grieving, for all who are wondering why, for all who are full of questions. May they know your presence, and may they know your peace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are suffering in different ways at this time. And we think especially of those known to us. And in the silence, we offer their names and their concerns to you. May your Spirit be with all whom we have named, your Spirit of healing and comfort and hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves. For you know us. You know our hopes and our fears. You know our anxieties and our needs. You know all that we keep buried. Be with us, loving God. Give us once again the assurance of your grace and the strength of your Spirit of love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for the church, for your body in this world. Help your church, your people, in all sorts of different places and different situations, to remember you, to be signs of hope and places of grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we offer our prayers, those spoken and unspoken, and those deep within our hearts, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we share together in the prayer that he taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So as we sing our final hymn together, our call on God to be with us and guide us in all things, and during the hymn, our offering will also be collected. So we sing together, Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. May the love of God surround you. The presence of Jesus comfort and guide you. And the power of the Holy Spirit bring you comfort, inspiration, and hope. Now and always. Amen.